And like a bad dream, Paul sees a repeat of politics and convenience prevailing over justice. Festus was looking to gain points with the Jews. He was not searching for the truth. Do we see these things today, I ask you? Nothing new under the sun.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. On today's edition of Life Talk, we're continuing the message, Paul the Prisoner. This is chapter 17 on the series called Acts, When God Gets Loose. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more.
Paul the Apostle could not be stopped, deterred, or discouraged from his supreme mission, nor should we. You know, the more I study the life of the great Apostle Paul, the more moved I am by his unstoppable faith and his unbeatable perseverance in his mission to serve the Lord Jesus and to finish his race with joy. If you want an example of a life lived for God, you can't find a better than Paul. Today, as we journey through the book of Acts, we again find Paul in prison for his testimony of Jesus and his fearless preaching of the gospel. I hope the legacy of this incredible man rubs off on all of us a little bit as we continue with the message, Paul the Prisoner. Verse 17, now after many years, I came to bring alms and offerings to my nation. Now he's just straight up telling them why he came to Jerusalem in the first place, to do good to his fellow Jews by bringing them money and relief, alms and offerings to my nation. And then he says, when I went into the temple and I came to Jerusalem to do this good thing, I'm in the temple and in the midst of which some Jews from Asia, verse 18, found me purified in the temple. I wasn't doing anything wrong. They just found me purified in the temple. I wasn't with a mob. I wasn't causing tumult. Verse 19, they, my accusers who say I was doing otherwise, should have been here before you to object if they had anything against me. He's saying, where are my accusers? He informs Felix that he was taken into protective custody by the Romans to save him from being torn apart by a mob incited by Asiatic Jews, not him. Amen. And he wants to know why the real accusers aren't in the trial. Where are they? Here's the answer. They knew their charges would fall apart under scrutiny, so they didn't come. Isn't it funny when somebody accuses you of something? You say, well, where's my accuser? Well, bring them to me and let them accuse me to my face. And isn't it funny how sometimes they won't show? And they'll give some excuse, well, he wouldn't hear me anyway, or nobody would believe me, or some such nonsense as that. If you've ever been falsely accused, and I have. Amen. I have been falsely accused, and it was a very dark experience. And I called for the accusers, and none came. None came. Because if it's real, why don't the two of us go get on a lie detector machine? Yes. I'll go. Will you go? Amen. Where are my accusers? Now, look at verse 20. Continuing on, he says, or else let those who are here themselves say if they found any wrongdoing in me while I stood before the council. You that are here, tell me what you say you saw with me standing here. Verse 21, unless it is for this one statement which I cried out, standing among them, concerning the resurrection of the dead, I am being judged by you this day. Now he has gone straight to the chase. And he's saying, the real reason I'm here is because of my preaching on the resurrection from the dead in Jesus Christ, who you killed. It wasn't just that he was preaching the resurrection. It was who he was preaching was the Lord of the resurrection and who would be in charge of the resurrection when it happened. The man Christ Jesus, who you killed. Everything else I'm being charged with is a smokescreen. That's the real reason I'm here. You don't like me preaching Jesus. So Paul is just stripping the disguise off of them and all of the piousness and all of the high-handedness. And he's saying, you've got me here because I'm preaching Jesus as Lord of the resurrection. That's what you don't like. You know, folks, if you had heard the disciples in the book of Acts in the first century, when they went out preaching, they always preached the resurrection. Please understand tonight, your faith, Christianity, the crux and core of it is the resurrection. That's the crux and the core of it. He rose from the dead, and because he rose from the dead, you're going to rise from the dead. That's the crux and core of Christianity. If you take the resurrection away, there is no Christianity. So when Paul and them went out, this is what got them into trouble. They preached the coming resurrection under the power and lordship of Jesus Christ, who was the resurrection and the life. And that's what the Jews didn't like. Now next, like a good politician, Felix passes the buck. Verse 22. When Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, when Lysias, the commander, comes down, I'm going to make a decision on your case. So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him. Now what's really happened here is Felix should have dismissed Paul's case because they brought no proof at all. But he doesn't want to deal with the fury of the Jewish Sanhedrin. So he deferred the case to another day, and Paul received leniency when he should have gotten liberty. Verse 24, and after some days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla. Isn't that in a Disney cartoon somewhere? Now, after some days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, let me tell you about Drusilla. It's worth noting here that Felix's wife, Drusilla, was the daughter of Herod Agrippa I, the same Herod who had murdered James and would have murdered Peter. So her daddy had apostles' blood all over his hands. Look at her history here. Drusilla, his daughter, had been married to a prince in Syria as a 16-year-old when she ran away from her husband to marry Felix, becoming his third wife. So she's an adulteress and he's an adulterer. And this is the guilty pair before whom Paul now preaches the gospel. Paul knows her daddy killed James. Amen. Now that would take the anointing off you for a second there, wouldn't it? But not Paul. Look at verse 25. Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid. King James says he trembled and answered, go away for now. Get out of here. I can hear him. I'm convicted to the core. Get out of here. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. Now let's look at what Paul preached. He preached on righteousness. No doubt about it. He was telling them there's no righteousness really apart from faith in Christ. And then he talked about self-control, something which the couple before him had none of. And he preached about judgment to come. Judgment was coming with no escape but Calvary. No doubt that's what Paul was saying. Amen. No wonder Felix felt the heat, trembled, and killed the interview. He took the out so many others take by saying, at a convenient time, I will call you. But now catch next what Felix was really after, folks. Verse 26, meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. Now, notice with me, he brought Paul before him because he was hoping Paul offered him a bribe. I'll give you money if you'll set me free. That's what he was after. He wasn't calling Paul back to hear more about righteousness, self-control, and judgment. He was calling Paul back hoping for money. Felix talked with Paul several times again, but his conscience was seared. He was actually hoping for a bribe from Paul or his friends in order to gain his release. So he was after filthy lucre. He wasn't after salvation. How sad. Felix died. And Felix went to hell. Verse 27. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix. And Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul bound. During these 2 years, Paul enjoys relative peace and quiet. But all of that's about to be broken by new storms on the horizon, beginning in the next chapter. Let's start chapter 25, verse 1. Now, when Festus had come to the province, after 3 days, he went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Now, who's Festus? Festus is the new governor of the region and will only serve 2 years. He's going to make it 2 years, and he's done. He knew, coming in, that the reputation of the Jews in his province was that of being violent, fanatical, and virtually ungovernable. So he wanted to score some points with them, starting with Ananias the high priest. So verse 2, then the high priest and the chief men, the high priest being Ananias, and the chief men being the religious leaders of the Jews, informed him against Paul, and they petitioned him, asking a favor against him, that he would summon Paul to Jerusalem so that they could lay an ambush along the road and kill him. These are religious leaders, folks. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself was going to go to Caesarea shortly. Therefore, Festus said to them, let those who have authority among you go down with me and accuse this man to see if there's any fault in him. I want to hear your accusations about him in his presence. Now, at this juncture, there remained only about 10 years before the Lord's warnings of the fall of Jerusalem would take place. You got to always keep that in mind, church, because all that we're reading about in the book of Acts happened before the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD, when Jesus said not one stone is going to be left upon another. It's going to be decimated, and you better be ready. You better not be carrying child. You better be ready to run. You better be ready to take the open door I give you, the exit door I give you, while the getting is out is good, and run to the hills, because it's going to be completely decimated because you didn't know the hour of your visitation. You did not accept me, Messiah. So all of this drama is happening leading up to the decimation of Jerusalem. And we see that the hearts of the religious leaders are in exactly the same condition that had brought the Lord's 8 woes. He spoke over them in Matthew 23. You ought to go read it. Jesus was stout. Jesus was not politically correct. Woe unto you for this, woe unto you for that. And he spoke 8 woes over them, and all those 8 woes happened. Read it in Matthew 23. These Jewish leaders are the same ones that crucified him. That is, they've got the same heart. They are bloodthirsty. They are utterly resistant to the truth of Christ, and they are conniving. They are godless. They are sinister. They are absolutely the children of the devil. As Jesus said to them himself, you are of your father, the devil. That's what he said to them. And here they are trying to kill Paul in cold blood. Festus sees through their intent to kill Paul should he send him to Jerusalem and refuses their request. Verse 6, and when he had remained among them more than 10 days, that is Festus, he went down to Caesarea. And the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, he, Festus, commanded Paul to be brought. And when he had come, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood about and laid many serious complaints against Paul, which, again, they could not prove. While, once again, Paul answered for himself, saying, neither against the laws of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar, have I offended in anything at all. Everything they're telling you, Festus, is a lie. Up to this point, let's just remember Paul's human. This has to be frustrating for him. To have been brought before Felix so many times, no doubt believing, hey, I'm kind of striking up a relationship with this guy. We're getting to know each other. Felix made a political move and didn't release him. Felix was guilty of criminal neglect of his duty and office in not releasing Paul. Now, thanks to Felix's unfitness for office, Paul had to endure yet another trial and had to listen to these accusations all over again. There's no question that the great apostle's soul was sorely tested and tried by these failings of men. In court, he had yet again to listen to the lies, the half-truths, and the diatribes of the Jews who were so full of venom and spite. And as before, they couldn't prove any of their accusations against him. Paul again denies their claims and defends himself. Now look at verse 9. Festus wanting to do the Jews a favor. Here is the second guy making a political move, wanting to do the Jews a favor, just like Felix had done, answered Paul and said, hey, Paul, you willing to go up to Jerusalem and there be judged before me concerning these things? And like a bad dream, Paul sees a repeat of politics and convenience prevailing over justice. Festus was looking to gain points with the Jews. He was not searching for the truth. Do we see these things today, I ask you?
Amen.
Looking for political maneuvering politically to get money and favor and gain, accepting bribes and not really after the truth.
Amen.
Nothing new under the sun. Returning to Jerusalem, though, here's what it meant for Paul if he had said yes to this question from Festus. It meant returning to square one. He'd been in captivity now 2 years waiting for justice. 2 years waiting for justice when he had been utterly falsely accused. And seeing Festus play politics moved him to play his ace card. He said, "I appeal to Caesar." Nobody expected him to say this. Look at verse 10. Paul said, "I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. To the Jews, I've done no wrong, as you very well know. You ought to be setting me free. You know I didn't do anything, Festus." Verse 11, "If I am an offender or have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying. But if there is nothing in these things of which these men accuse me, nobody can deliver me to them. So no, I'm not going back to Jerusalem and falling into their hands. I appeal to Caesar." Now, those four last words exploded like a bomb. Paul was a Roman citizen, and only a Roman citizen could appeal to Caesar. To revoke his right as a Roman citizen would have spelled disaster for Festus. So when he said, "I appeal to Caesar," he left Festus no choice. Verse 12, "Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, 'You have appealed to Caesar? To Caesar you shall go.'" Do you sense that he's a little bit angry right there? Paul was smart. He said, "You're going to take me through these kangaroo courts. I'm going to end it right here. I'm going to Caesar." And next, another king and queen enter the stage as we finish this 25th chapter. Verse 13, "After some days, King Agrippa and Bernice came to Caesarea to greet Festus." Now let me tell you who Agrippa was. He was subservient to Festus. He was not over Festus. But Festus needed his help in extricating himself from Caesar's displeasure at having been handed Paul's case, which for a Caesar would have been small stuff. Paul should never have had to go this far. He went this far because Felix and Festus were playing politics and not dealing truthfully.
Amen.
So now Paul has turned the tables and said, "I'm going to Caesar." So Festus essentially is freaking out. And so he's saying, "I need somebody in political power standing with me so that when Caesar gets Paul's case, I'm not standing alone, receiving the wrath of Caesar alone. I want Agrippa saying, 'Yeah, you know, this had to happen.' I want Agrippa standing with me." So he tells Agrippa the whole story. And let me just read through it quickly. Verse 14, he's going to rehearse to Agrippa Paul's case. Verse 14, "When they had been there many days, Festus laid Paul's case before the king, saying, 'There is a certain man left a prisoner by Felix, about whom the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me when I was in Jerusalem asking for a judgment against him. To them I answered, it is not the custom of the Romans to deliver any man to destruction before the accused meets the accusers face to face and has opportunity to answer for himself concerning the charges against him. Therefore," verse 17, "when they had come together without any delay the next day, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man, Paul, to be brought in. When the accusers stood up, they brought no accusation against him of such things as I thought they would. But they had some questions against him about their own religion and about a certain Jesus." Isn't that interesting? A certain Jesus who had died, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. "And because I was uncertain of such questions, I asked whether he was willing to go to Jerusalem and there be judged concerning these matters. But when Paul appealed to be reserved for the decision of Augustus Caesar, I commanded him to be kept till I could send him to Caesar." Now, Agrippa's listening to all this, and he's getting intrigued. So Agrippa said to Festus, "Wow, I would love to hear this man myself." And Festus said, "You got it. Tomorrow, you will hear him."
Amen.
Now I want to pause and just remind you of something as we draw to the close. Let's remember the Lord Jesus' words regarding Paul's calling. Remember Acts 9:15? Jesus told Ananias, who was going to go pray for him, he said, "Ananias, I know what he's done, but here's who he's going to be. He's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before who, everybody? Gentiles. And who? Kings. And the children of Israel. Who's that? The Jews." And remember also the words of Jesus to his own disciples prior to his crucifixion. Matthew 10:18, Jesus said, "You're going to be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles." So while it appears here, if you're in their shoes, Paul's shoes, the church's shoes in this day of intense persecution, it appears as if things are happening according to the will and politics of men. If Paul hadn't had a vertical view of sovereignty and believed that God was ultimately in control, he would have believed that he was just a pawn in the political playings of men. Felix doesn't do right. Festus doesn't do right. They're both seeking the favor of the Jews. They're playing politics. But Paul knew that there was a higher authority ordering his steps. And church, listen to me. Sometimes where you work, and I know there's politics in every job, where you work, there's politics. Can I tell you, even though it looks like the politics of men prevail sometimes, there is a higher authority ordering your steps. There is a higher authority ordering your steps. And Jesus sees everything done to you or for you. He sees it all. And though it may have looked to the natural eye like Paul was a loser, 2 years sitting in prison while these guys play politics for doing nothing wrong, Paul knew that God had said to him, "You're going to Rome and you're going to face Caesar." So Paul said, though it looks like politics are in charge, they're not. The sovereignty of God's in charge. Yeah. Jesus predicted these very things would happen to his own. So verse 23, the next day, when Agrippa and Bernice had come with great pomp and had entered the auditorium with the commanders and the prominent men of the city, at Festus' command, Paul was brought in. Once again, he's alone. And Festus said, "King Agrippa and all the men who are here present with us, you see this man about whom the whole assembly of the Jews petitioned me, both at Jerusalem and here, crying out that he was not fit to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing deserving of death." Does that ring a memory in your mind? Who said that about someone else? Didn't Pilate say that about Jesus? "And that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I decided to send him. I have nothing certain to write to my Lord concerning him. Therefore, I have brought him out before you, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that after the examination, put another way, after you check him out, I may have something to write to Caesar. For it seems to me unreasonable to send a prisoner and not to specify the charges against him." In other words, I want Agrippa's word as well as mine. I don't want to do this alone, because Caesar's not going to like getting this guy's case. So Paul's about to speak, and it is filled with red, hot, white, hot, convicting power. And this man is going to stand up in a way, all alone, that needs to inspire us all.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. If you happen to miss part of this broadcast, or if you want to listen to this message again, you can do so by visiting our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you will have access to plenty of resources available to you. You can download and listen to our daily podcast messages to start your day off right and encourage you throughout the day. You can also get full access to current and previous Life Talk Radio broadcasts and catch up on any sermons that you have missed. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support of Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877 884 3111 or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. Coming up on Life Talk.
If you're in sin and God's after you, and He's starting to turn the screw and put pressure on you, and you feel convicted, I don't care where you go or what you do, you cannot find inner peace. There is no greater misery than that of the backslidden Christian or the person who's resisting the dealings of God. They just get meaner and meaner every day. Ornery and mean, because God's after them.
That's next in a brand new message we're calling Paul Faces King Agrippa in this life-changing series titled Acts, When God Gets Loose. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until next time, God bless.